welcome back to the Blank Canvas, the first show of 2019. It is January the 2nd. We taped this show before Junkanoo took place, so we're taping today not knowing what the outcome is. I guess we'll find out. So anyway, Happy New Year. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can always download the Guardian Radio app to listen to us when you're on the move at the App Store or Play Store. Or you can listen to us at guardiantalkradio.com by live streaming. Or if you missed the show or you got a half of it and you want to hear it again, you can go to our own website at www.nagb.org.bs. You can go to the Learn menu, scroll down to Blank Canvas, and you will there find all of the archive shows, and you can download the MP3s, you can share them with friends, etc., etc. So we are talking about Junkanoo today. I have two gentlemen in the studio with me. I have a Junkanoo practitioner, Carlos Bain, who not only is a Junkanooer, like full-on in, you know, making costumes, etc., but he also has taken the craft of Junkanoo, or the art form of Junkanoo, and he's made his own kind of artistic practice out of that. We have an exhibition of his at the National Art Gallery right now. It's called Second to None, which I love how we are so, like, Bahamians, just so, like, you know, we're the best. I think it's a great title. It just sums it all up. And it's a really beautiful show because it's sculptures and it's sort of, I guess you could call them paintings in a way. I mean, they're in frames, they're two-dimensional, they hang on the wall, but they're made with the technique of Junkanoo, and they tell the story of the enslavement of Africans and really go back to the roots of where the seeds of Junkanoo are. And it's actually interesting that, again, we have a show on the upper floor called The Fruit and the Seed, and it's all sort of about what we plant and what we reap and what we sow. And so there's kind of a connection there too. And I also have Jay Coman in the studio tonight, and Jay has been a long time he's a supporter of the arts. I mean, he had a gallery, but it was so much more than that. He's worked with so many artists, supporting them in their careers. And he is one of the founding members of Genesis Junkanoo Group, and is looking really tired right now because I think it's big time shack season. So thank you for being here, taking this time. And we're just here sort of talking about Junkanoo. Before the break, we were speaking to its sort of originally being sort of an act of rebellion, or at least a reclamation of who we were. And I mentioned that there was a period where it was, in fact, the British ruling class tried to ban it for a couple of years, which didn't work, as you can imagine, at all, because you can't really stop a creative action like that. And actually, that is when, and this is what I learned, which is so fascinating, that is when it became a competition. Because it was a really smart move, because it's a way to divide and conquer. You get all the groups working somehow against each other, and it becomes less of a group action and more of, you know, and it became what it is today, which is a sort of, you know, groups competing against each other and for a prize, and it became sort of a spectator sport somehow. And we were reminiscing, all of us, in the break about what we remember of it. So, you know, Carlos, I heard from Jay that you went down on your dad's shoulders as a little boy. I know I remember I used to stay at a friend of my parents' house right on Charlotte Street, and we used to spend the night there, and we used to go down, my sister and I, and we used to, like, climb up one of the trees there on Shirley Street and sit on the wall there at the end. And back when it was much less kind of chaotic in a way than it is today, and in a way less organized. And I sort of miss those times. I don't know about you guys. I sort of miss a little bit that it was a little more like there weren't the barriers between the performers. I don't know how, as a performer, that affects you, but as a spectator, it becomes, you become less a part of it, and you become more of a watcher and less of a kind of participant in a way.
Well, to piggyback on what you said earlier about the kid on the dad's shoulder, before I joined Roots Junkanoo Group, I was taking the Junkanoo on my father's shoulder, and it was at one point when the Shell Saxon Superstars was passing, and apparently my father and Percy Willa Francis were great friends, so I guess they saw each other, and Willa ended up coming close to the railing, and I was still on the shoulder, you know, and I guess Percy was about to heal my father, but I felt as if he was ailing me. So I stretched my hand out, And he ended up touching my hand. So a lot of persons would say I got bit from the willow bug.
Okay, that's what happened.
So this is why I'm so deep in jungle. Yeah. But it all started from there. And then I remembered myself right after the parade. I grew up in Mount Pleasant Village, right adjacent from Mom's and Pop's shop. And at the rear of their shop, they used to have a garbage bin where they used to throw some large boxes. So I found myself in the garbage bin, throwing the boxes over the fence. And I searched through the garbage bin, looking for the best box I can find. And at that time, our house was in line with croton trees.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to break the branch, mm-hmm. stick it through one side of the box, go inside the box, and rush by myself.
Oh, that's so cute.
Straight up to the park with one hole in the front so I can see where I'm going, you know? So
adorable.
Person just used to see a box moving and they don't know. They don't know I'm under that. Having my own jungle group and everything, you know. So it started right from there, and that was it.
So when did you get bitten by the Junkanoo bug, Jay?
When I first came to Nassau. You know, my wife, may she rest in peace, grew up in Grantstown, which meant that whole family was Saxons. That was just pretty simple.
When I'm trying to explain it to foreign people, I say it's a bit, little bit like your football team. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
your football
yes.
team is like where you're from or where you went to university. It's like your identity. It's like where you're from. And like Junkanoo, it's like where you're from, right? And
yeah.
you don't choose your group. Your group chooses you. and also it describes that kind of competitiveness.
Because, mm-hmm.
You know, if you're in the UK and you're like a Chelsea supporter, you're going to get into it with a West Ham supporter. Do you know what I mean? And it's the same here. It's kind of like, man, you Saxons, I wally.
Right. Or Yankees, Red Sox from an American perspective.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I think for me, from there, and I, of course, my shop was downtown, so I was lucky. I had a place I could go to the bathroom, a private place. I could go sit in my shop. I could walk back and forth. The cops let me go wherever I wanted because I said, oh, no, my shop's there. I'm checking on my shop, yada, yada. And I was able to watch Junkanoo from every perspective, going from Shirley Street to buying tickets to even on the top of the roof above Gucci's, which, by the way, is one of the absolute most fabulous places to watch.
Yeah, because you have that really, you have that good view right
off straight across. Yeah. It's amazing. And so all those years, I would go and I would have fun because there would be two guys arguing, Valley and Saxon, and they would think I'm just a tourist, and I'd say, oh, which good? They say, oh. I said, oh, yeah, I mean, I saw Valley was terrible, man. But Saxons were good. And the guy who was a Saxon would be all excited because he figured I was obviously, like, you know, impartial dude. But after that, I got involved by starting to do some judging. And after I did some judging a couple of years, I then went to Genesis was forming, and I asked my couple of good friends. I asked John Beadle and I asked Paparazzi. I said, are these guys going to drive me completely crazy? They said, no, Jay, join. So I went ahead and I just wanted to have a different experience. And I have to just say this, look, I've been blessed to been allowed to have that experience, you see. So I'm quite happy with what's going on. Yeah.
And I think it's interesting, like, again, obviously we acknowledge where Junkanoo came from, but I think for me as a Bahamian, my family's been here so long, and even for you, it's like you married a Bahamian. You mm-hmm. know, when they say it's the heartbeat of a nation, it is, but at the same time, I sort of think about that line from Shylock and Shakespeare. It's like, you know, we all bleed and we all have, it's like, it's everyone's heartbeat. Mm-hmm. It's not, and that's what I love about Junkanoo. Yes, I know it's exclusively, you know, it's Bahamian thing, but it's also human. And I think when you're a Bahamian, doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter what part of town you're from, if you grew up with Junkanoo, Junkanoo's in your blood. Junkanoo is part of who you are. And I think it also can bind us for that reason, too. And it can be something because, you know, we all have a heartbeat. And if you're a human and you want to listen to that heartbeat and you want to join that heartbeat, you become one with the spirit, with the people. And so I think for that, it's kind of a beautiful thing, too, because I think it's something that actually can unite us if we don't get too caught up in our like, you know, just group mentality in terms of the group you belong to. What do you think about that, Carlos?
What you you know what we can do to help to get persons to get involved and understand Junkanoo? We need to create a Junkanoo museum.
Yeah.
You know, so persons can actually see from behind the scenes what really take place because, like Jay said, he said he was happy to get involved, to kind mm-hmm. of be that close into mm-hmm. it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think it should be more persons like that. Like, I think there are some persons who want to know, like, how do they do these things, yeah. but they don't know the resources, they don't yep. know who to contact,
yep.
you know. So I think we need to create a museum, a national museum.
I agree with you, 100%.
We can exchange the costumes yearly, maybe the yep. first, second, third place persons, you know, where it comes with the benefits of placing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it could help beef up the economy and get persons Listen, to understand Jean Canoe internationally.
You and I are like so on the same page. We're having a mind meld, because I've said that before. Listeners to the show regularly will know that I say that all the time. I'm like, not only, first of all, I actually envision a network of museums in the country that does so much more. Like, I think we could have a music museum. I think we could have a food museum. I mean, again, like, I think we could do all these things that speak to our culture. Right. But a Jean Canoe museum is such a no-brainer. And again, with all due respect to what Arlene does, you know, it's a beautiful little space she's got there, EduCulture. But, you know, when I think of a Jean Canoe museum, I think of something the size of Central Bank. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, where you can really put the costumes in and really talk about the history. Because, again, we've tried to do some of that at the NAGB. We did the Ace of Spades show with Jackson Burnside. We did the Ace of Spades shows with Gus Cooper. Yeah, Gus Cooper, which John Beadle curated. And we had that whole history. And, again, it just... My heart was bleeding when we had to take that show down and remove that wall of history, because so much work went into it. And then we did the As We Knew Him. That was a Jackson Burnside show. But, you know, we only have these temporary shows and they come down. There should be a permanent museum that speaks really to the whole history. Like you said, so people can see the whole process, because the closer you get to it, the more amazed you are. Like, I always, when we did both of those shows, we had Jean Canoeers in the museum working to recreate artwork, so to make a mural. Man, let me tell you, that dedication, that passion, that focus, you know, it's just extraordinary.
And just to talk about that hurts your heart to watch that exhibition go down. And that's what I think drew me to the point of creating what I call fringe paintings.
Mm-hmm.
Because I watch year in and year out that these costumes be created, be mm-hmm. paced, and a lot of man hours are placed into these costumes. And then after the parade is destroyed, it's like, this is the same costume you spend like 7 months on, and then mm-hmm. it's just destroyed. You can't even find pieces, and what you can find get destroyed, and you don't care about it. So,
mm-hmm.
and it struck me that it has to be a better way or another way
mm-hmm.
that we can showcase our art, mm-hmm. not only in a competitive side of it,
mm-hmm.
it's really art being displayed, and that's
absolutely
that's what drew me to say, hey Carlos, you need to take Jean Canoe to the gallery,
yeah,
and our persons to really understand and really see the artwork up close, yeah. because mm-hmm. on Bay Street Jean Canoe is moving,
yeah,
and so you don't really appreciate the details of the costume,
it's
because
true.
It's moving so fast. The only thing you understand is the colors,
yeah,
right, and that's what forced me to display the fringe paintings.
Yeah.
Because I say, you know, I never went to school to learn how to paint, but I understand Jean Canoe, so I can do what I can do.
Yeah.
You know, and I try to get persons to understand the local art, trying to get the world to understand and appreciate and respect and accept Jean Canoe mm-hmm. as art. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Well, I think it is. And I think one of the things actually we have to do collectively is not, because I think sometimes, occasionally, even Jean Canoeers don't consider themselves artists, right? And I think that's a big step, is like to say, no, this actually, what you're doing is art. It's not a hobby. It's not, you know, it's not just like a sideline. It's not something you just do to get out of the house for a while. And it's really an art form, because I've spoken to a lot of Jean Canoeers who are like, no, I ain't an artist, you know, and I'm like, no, you are. So I think kind of we have to also underscore that it is, that it really is. Anyway, we're talking about Jean Canoe and it's all its awesomeness. It just took place, but we pre-taped this, so we don't know what happened, but surely we'll find out soon. We're going to come back after this short break. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to come back right after this break.